So, Tom, at the risk of repeating a question I ask every week at the top of the podcast, bought any new lemmings or worm stuff recently, Mr. I'm giving up eBay?
It's Tom Matt Attack.
Hello, everyone.
I don't want to answer that question, Matthew.
Really?
Because I'm going to have to say yes.
What happened to this? I'm giving up eBay.
Actually, I've done really well. Please congratulate me on that fact, because most...
How many items have you purchased off of eBay?
In the last week?
Yes.
Two in the last week.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. And the week before, maybe two, three.
Okay.
So definitely down on my old habits.
Okay, that's good.
Was considerably more. But yeah, that's what we talk about on this podcast, what we've been buying on eBay. No, it's not just what we talk about. We talk about what's been going on in our gaming lives this week.
Yes.
What about yours, Matthew? What's been going down?
Well, I guess we should start the podcast with... the big release of the week that's not Skylanders Supercharge in the Toys to Life category. It's actually Lego Dimensions. I know it won't be out in Britain until the 29th, but fortunately today is the 27th that this podcast will be posted on a Sunday. So, yes, it will be released in the States so I can talk about it. Ha 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 ha. Hooray for embargoes.
How can you talk about it, Matthew? You've been playing it.
Yes, Thomas, I have been playing
it. So have I, actually.
You played it with me. Worth mentioning at the top, we both work for Lego. I have worked on this game, or at least made products related to this game. So,
and I've actually created graphics that feature within this game.
You have, yes.
So I feel like I've helped bring it to life as well. You have. Some very small part.
Oh, yeah, you know, you worked on some of the Ninjago graphics.
That's right.
Possibly also some of the... No, you didn't work on any of the superhero stuff.
Unless there's some old superheroes characters in there, like Penguin.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen any anyways. Okay. But, yeah, Lego Dimensions, pretty damn good. We have voiced our opinion on some of the Lego games on this podcast of us enjoying them, but kind of
fed up of them.
Feeling they were getting a bit samey.
No, not to say that I haven't played a Lego game that I've ever thought was bad.
No.
Just, you know, maybe I was tiring of them a little bit.
And they have brought in new dynamics and stuff, but I would say this one shakes things up in a very positive light.
It does do some new things, and maybe you should explain them, Matthew, because what can we expect out of Dimensions? Because it isn't just a straightforward Lego game.
No, it isn't. I don't want to give too much away at this point, because I want people to have the joy of playing it. Safe to say, I think a big thing is that you can play this game with the stuff that comes in the box. For the large majority, I don't have any of the expansion things to hand, so I've just been playing it with what I have. And that has been a pleasure. It's very well written, handles very well. There's the stuff you would expect from Lego games, but there's also a lot of problem solving that revolves around the portal.
Yeah, this is you were when we were playing two player. Matt was very much in charge of the portal, and he seemed to know exactly what he was doing. I was a little bit bewildered by what was going on in the portal, but there's more than one space to place your characters. Different compartments within the portal.
There are. There's almost like three zones. There's a circle in the middle, and then like two L-shaped parts of the portal on either side, and you can move your characters around, and certain puzzles within the games require you to do so. There's a few where there are like coloured blobs of ink almost in the level, and you need to run over to that, and you need to make yourself red, and then put that Batman who's red on the red bit of the portal, and then it makes that bit of the portal red. There's also some of Wildstyle's powers involve her being moved to the pink part of the portal and kind of like moving a chess piece almost. You're moving things around constantly. The cable is long enough to do it, and to be honest with you, for the first I don't know how long I played it. I've played it almost like 9-10 hours now, I guess, with us playing it today. I'd played it 8 hours before that, so it is seems like a pretty damn long game. I'm not sure if I'm coming to the end now or if there's more to come, because there's still a few worlds that are available that I haven't explored, but I don't know if they're in level packs or not.
But this is a first, I think, among the Toys to Life games that the portal is used as a gameplay mechanic.
It is. It's definitely more...
Not just something to place your character on to make it appear in the game.
Yeah.
That's the biggest surprise for me, because I didn't know that part of the game whatsoever. So it does make it a little bit different, make it stand out. And you've got the vehicles as well.
Yes.
That you can build and place on there.
Yeah, and you can upgrade those. I think I've just kind of stuck with the Batmobile and kind of just driven around with that. I haven't really delved into any more of it, just because I've been enjoying the story so much. It's so well written.
Yeah, it's a joy to behold and see all these crossovers.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. And as I was reading an article beforehand, it's very much like playing with Lego. You would mix and match different themes if you play with the physical toy as a child. You know, Batman could be with the Ghostbusters or
This reminds me of playing with Lego when I was a kid.
Mm.
Obviously, it's within the realm of a TT game, so don't expect anything completely crazy beyond it. Though there are a few surprises in there that I don't really want to give away in terms of how the gameplay goes and how it switches and how it changes. But it feels nice. It feels like, you know, like when I had Space Lego and things like Johnny Thunder, then those characters would coexist in a world.
It's interesting for us, when we look back on, I think, the Lego we used to play with, there wasn't the IPs.
Slowly, I think I kind of fell off playing with Lego. You're a little bit older than I am, towards the first Star Wars launch. I think those were the last sets I got, but even then, I was kind of on the teetering edge of what...
Last Lego set I ever had was a Star Wars one.
Yeah.
I had one Star Wars Lego set, and that was bought for me as a present long after I'd stopped playing with Lego, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I never really got into the licensed themes as a kid, but for kids nowadays, a large part of their Lego playing is with the licensed products. So this really brings it into the digital realm, and the possibilities within a Lego video game are really cool, what you can do.
I think it's awesome. I'm really pleasantly surprised by how much I really enjoyed this game. I thought it would be new, I thought it would be different, and my expectations are met in that regard. I think it is different enough that it's pushing this genre of Lego.
It's not groundbreaking because it's not the first of its kind, but at least it tries to do things a little bit differently and innovate the genre.
I think it does innovate within the space, though. Yeah. Like, we've talked about playing Skylanders and Disney Infinity within that, and it is a game like Skylanders is, and I know Disney Infinity has these world things you can buy, but I've never really found the campaigns in Disney that interesting. They always seem to be really short and really segmented. This is a game. This is a game in the same way Skylanders is, and I would even say it lets you do a lot more than Skylanders does.
It feels like the narrative is a lot stronger.
Yeah.
The stories, as you mentioned previously, very well written.
But I mean, the bits that involve the toys, for me, they don't get in your way. It's not like when we were playing Skylanders, the time we played Swap Force. There isn't like a big, massive, flaming door that looks really interesting, and it's like, you can't get down here because you haven't got a fire character. There are bits within the world.
Yeah, did you hear that about the new Skylanders?
No.
There's no areas like that.
Really?
Yes.
That's good thing.
Is it Superchargers, the new Skylanders?
Skylanders Supercharged, yeah.
So they've got rid of these exclusive parts of the levels where you have to have a certain character.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and that seems to be the way these games are going now.
I mean, there are areas within this, don't get me wrong. There are bits where you can see, you need this character with X power to interact with this object, as there has been in every Lego game.
But it never intrudes on the gameplay.
It
never breaks the gameplay up.
No.
It's like it's there if you want it, otherwise you just ignore it and it doesn't doesn't shout saying you need this to do this. You just get on with it and you don't feel like you're ever really missing out on anything.
No, you don't.
Knowing that there's more replay value in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of these games I've been itching to play. It's been one of those, it's a nice pick up and play game as well. Mm-hmm. And as you said earlier, it's a game you keep want to play because it doesn't tell you what's coming next, so you want to jump through the portal and see.
That's it. What level's next? Don't spoil it for yourselves. Just get the game, play it, and then you'll constantly be surprised and hopefully delighted by what's going to come next.
Yeah, I think it's not a spoiler to say, for those of you who have had people express concerns to me personally and go like, oh, but I really want this character, and I haven't really been able to say anything because the game's not been out. But I think if you want a character, you want that character because you want to play as that character, the same way you'd want a Skylander to play as that Skylander. But you get to experience these worlds, or at least it's been that way for most of the IPs in the game so far. Like, I've been through worlds relating to these things and interacted with these characters, and it's great.
I really like the variety, because usually when you buy a game, you get one theme throughout.
Yes.
And yeah, this keeps everything fresh all the time. The game's constantly changing, constantly showing you new things, seeing things from a different perspective, a different franchise. This is very tempting for me to pick up as well, because I think I was getting a bit tired of the same thing throughout. And this is more variety with all the different characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. You played anything yourself this week?
Have I played anything myself this week? I have played something within the last week since we last podcast. I've played some more of Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes. I'm trying to think what number we were on then. Great. I did the first mission, pretty much. I rescued the guy from the fortification or whatever. There was an outpost, and I rescued a guy and took him back to Mother Base.
You got Kaz.
Is that his name?
Yeah, you put your sunglasses on him.
Yes. It's been like... Yeah, that was cool. It's been a while, actually, since I played it actually last week. But it's great. I mean, I was very surprised still with how much I'm enjoying it. It's actually very easy to pick up and play.
It is.
It don't feel daunted because it's a Metal Gear Solid title, and maybe they feel a bit technical too. Because I actually had that perception of Metal Gear Solid, that maybe the gameplay was a little bit too technical and a little bit too hardcore for me.
And it has been to a certain extent in the past. I was telling a colleague of ours, Fred, that he was very daunted by the aspect of playing this game because he knows how hardcore the stealth mechanics can be in Metal Gear. If you don't want to play this game as a stealth game, you don't have to. You can literally run in, gun everyone down if you really want to.
Do you know what I felt really bad about?
What?
Is when you shoot people, they fall to the ground, but they're not necessarily dead.
Yeah.
And then you feel like, well, I've got to kill them. So these people are kind of just struggling to stay alive, and you're shooting them as they're writhing in pain on the ground. And I felt really horrible.
You can also Fulton them. You can put your balloon on them that sucks them up into the sky. I mean, they got a 30-30 chance
really?
Later on in the game, if you develop your... Have you got to the point where you started having, teams in your base?
I just finished that first mission.
Okay.
The first mission after the prologue.
Yes.
And so I got to the base, and I was just about to wander around the base and talk to Ocelot and...
Well, there is a chance that you can put your balloon on those people and they can get pulled back to Mother Base. However, as the game progresses, when you're sending these soldiers back to base, they will form teams. There'll be an R&D team, there'll be a defense team, there'll be a medical
team. They'll join forces.
Yeah, they join your forces when you send them back. So, if you're stealthy and you can tranquilize them, then you can send them up on a balloon and then they go back to your base.
I was really worried if I was tranquilizing people, they just come back and I'd...
They will. But if you send them on...
How long do they stay tranquilized for?
It really depends. Yeah. Your tranquilizer really isn't that strong at the start of the game. No. It's a lot more efficient to slam them into the ground, pretty much. Mm. If you can walk up on people and knock them out, then that lasts longer than tranquilizer does.
I like the episodic nature of the game, and how when you play through one level, you feel like you've played through an episode of a TV series.
Yes, it gets old fast.
I bet it does if you play it for a while. But if I'm playing it for a mission a week, for instance, it feels like I'm watching a TV episode each week. And I don't see that getting irritating if I play it like that. But yeah, I can understand if you're just going through it for a few hours and it's breaking up with credits and titles every so often.
The amount of times I've seen Hideo Kojima's name at the start and end of those chapters, I'm like, there's a few chapters that you can beat in a good 5 minutes. There's a few that are just if you know what you're doing, if you've played it before, because you have to replay some things later in the game, they're optional.
Because I anticipated like an hour each episode, each level.
And I have them for a lot of the time, but there are a few. If you're fast enough and if you know what you're doing, you can get the objective a lot quicker.
Mm. Right. But I like the idea of them being self-contained episodes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
For me, someone who is, I'd say, actually quite casual in my gaming habits, it's great that I can play one a week and not get bogged down in the game and not feel like I've really accomplished anything in that session.
I think it says a lot to Kojima, and I think it probably says a lot of where his focus is almost as a person and his interests, because the whole fact that he has Kiefer Sutherland voicing Snake is very interesting. It's like, whereas the previous movies have felt very movie-like.
You said previous movies, Matthew. Oh, God, not previous games.
Previous games have felt like movies. They felt very grandiose. They felt like a Hollywood blockbuster. Yeah. This feels more like a HBO or a FX, like a high-budget series.
It's mirroring what's popular at the moment, which is series.
But I think that's what he's into at the moment, because he is a very big film buff, but I think this is him going like, I also kind of like episodic things.
Metal Gear, the TV series.
Perhaps a bit too far in that vein when you get later in the game, but it's good.
You know what? I really like the feeling I have after completing or playing through an episode of Metal Gear Solid.
Yes.
I'm going to say episode now because this feels kind of natural to say that. It's the same feeling I get when I watch a good kind of artistically made film.
Yeah.
With fantastic composition and maybe a little bit of thoughtfulness behind it. Visually, very nice.
The insanity of how well made that game is really moves me almost to the point where I'm like, this is how far we have come in making video games. I did beat the game over the weekend. I am done with Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. I have beaten every mission. I haven't necessarily... I think my ending percentage is somewhere around the 50% mark. But after that, it's all of the FOD stuff.
FOD?
Like all the, there's like... you can build bases, and in a Dark Souls way, when you build these offshore bases, they can be invaded by other players on your friends list or subsequent other players just from online.
Okay.
And they can come in and steal all your resources and steal your people and stuff. Yeah. So it means you need to build up, there's like this sub game where you need to build up all the fences on this other base and this stuff.
It's not like that, like Gears of War Horde mode, is it?
No.
You build defenses and waves of enemies.
You go online and you go, okay, I'm going to invade that person's base and try and steal their resources. But they will have kitted out their other base with security cameras and guards and all this kind of stuff. And you have to go in there and steal all their resources and make it to a certain point in the map. Yeah, it's kind of cool. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want people stealing my resources. Like, I need them.
I want my resources. Yeah, exactly. They're mine.
There's no way to opt out of it. It's Dark Souls. People invade your game, people fuck shit up. Yeah. Like, but you can retaliate and you can get your resources back and things, but... Yeah.
Where does the actual... because when you start the game, you get to create your appearance. How does that bring itself back into the game? Is that in through the multiplayer?
Yeah, I think so.
I made quite a unique character at the beginning.
I know. I love it. It's how fast it gets disregarded is amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Snake doesn't look like the character I created at the beginning.
Yeah, he looks like Snake. He's fucking brilliant.
So where do I see this character again? I'm still wondering. You have no answers.
I have answers, but it's later in the game stuff. You will come across it. It's to do with like multiplayer and things.
Yeah.
But
because I like that idea that we're going to have to give you surgery. Spoilers again.
Not unless the start of the game.
That's the start. That's the first thing actually that happens. Okay. Yeah. But still a great game. I'm looking forward to giving it another go, doing another episode tomorrow. Yeah.
It makes me sad that there will not be another Hideo Kojima Metal Gear Solid game.
Like, it's been a statement from Konami, hasn't there, recently?
That they're not going to make AAA games anymore.
Yeah. I just saw this as a headline on a YouTube video.
Yeah, I saw it on Pat, NES Punk.
But I know nothing about
it. I haven't watched that episode either. Okay. So I can't comment.
It's curious to think that they won't use these names. But maybe they'll use the names, but not, as we talked about last time, maybe in a mobile game.
Well, like, they've been making, like, Silent Hill pachinko machines and stuff in Japan, which seems to be a very lucrative market.
It seems to be a waste of the name, doesn't it?
It does. However, I think part of their statement of them saying they're not making AAA games, and I could be wrong on this because I don't know, but this is what people long suspected once they did that, hey, which of these IPs do you want us to revive thing, is that they're going to pay other developers to develop games for them and just publish, because they know how to do that.
That would make a lot of sense. I could see that happening.
Yes, yeah. I would imagine so as well. But yeah, we'll see what the future holds, but it makes me sad because... I won't talk about the end of this game, but it makes me sad that there will be no more of them.
Oh, so, Matthew.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but it's the way it is.
Have you picked up any games within the last week?
I've not really bought anything, to be honest.
What's been going on? What have you been doing?
I've been very busy, which is why the biographic video, Boy Curious as it is, this week only dropped on Saturday, and why the All the Glory will go up today, the same day as this podcast.
What's this, Matthew? You do... YouTube series, yes, still Boygraphic.
I do have a YouTube channel.
I'm sure the most
I assume
know
so. Everyone knows
that, but
by
if
now.
Not Boygraphic, look up on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's just been a busy week. And my girlfriend is out of work, so my video game buying is at an all-time low, especially as I'm almost at the end of my Game Boy collection.
I was about to say that's exciting to be teetering on the edge.
It is
having complete PAL Game Boy collection.
Well, complete. European set, I would rather say, because there isn't a PAL region, and every time I say it's a complete PAL set,
of course there isn't, because
they're
multi-region.
They're not region locked. Game is a Game Boy game. There isn't regional set. There's regional sets in terms of games released in Europe. These are the games released in Japan. These games released in the US, and even further afield, then there's Asian countries like Thailand has its own Game Boy collection, so does China, but. In terms of the European bulk, which is all of the European countries and Australia, because they're lumped in with us PAL people.
Mm. PAL B?
PAL B is for NES times, it's like Germany, Scandinavia, and everything. Okay, PAL A was us and Australia. Yeah. So it's a complete European set. I'm one game shy at this moment in time.
I did 10 last time. I checked in on your
last
status.
Time you checked in my status was not last week.
Jurassic Park game for your game.
I got Jurassic Park Part 2, The Chaos Continues.
Never heard of it.
It's an ocean game. It's more of the same Jurassic Park. It's okay.
Is it based upon any of the console version of Jurassic Park?
Nope.
Side-scrolling, top-down?
It's literally more of the first Jurassic Park game for Game Boy.
Okay, well, I'm not so familiar with that one. I know the Master System one.
It is very similar to the Master System one. Okay. It is same concept of the console one where like one... or two levels, like top down, then it'll turn into a platformer.
On the Master System, I think they're all side scrolling.
It flips back and forth. Okay. From what I've played in the original Game Boy one, but it seems like more of the same.
Yeah.
I picked up a game called Altered Space 3D, Alien something or other, that's in the post office waiting for me to actually pick it up.
Okay.
And one more. Boxel 2 is the last Game Boy game I need at this moment in time. Boxel 2.
Okay. So just give it to Matt, whoever's there.
It's kind of annoying because I know a few Danish collectors have purchased it recently. Mm. And I'm just like, look, at this point, I will give you 200 krona for this one cart. Like, it's like 20 quid. Like, I'm just waiting off this month because I spent my game budget, so I'm going to buy it at the start of next month. Not exactly. I know there's only one more left now.
What are you going to do when you get a full Game Boy collection?
I'm just going to keep on reviewing them. Like, I'm enjoying playing them. Like,
you're going to have a party?
You want me to have a party? And I know you've said this a few times.
You're going to do something, but you're going to make a special video, I imagine.
I'm thinking of making a special video, yes.
Get in the bath. I haven't got a bath. I was going to say, if you had a bath, you could fill it full of Game Boy games and get in it.
No one wants to see that.
You don't have to. You can keep your clothes on.
No, I can't. It's a bathtub. There's some things that need to be done.
Yeah, I think covering your naked body with Game Boy games is going a little bit too far.
No, exactly. I'm not the woman from American Beauty. I can't really get away with that.
You could just stick them all over your body and make clothes out of Game Boy games.
Except I'd probably wreck the Game Boy games in the... thing of doing that, and that would kind of defy the point.
I just think you need to have something really special. It's like some sort of special event for when you get all of them.
Yeah, I
because it can't just be.
I have a few things planned, and I'm going to still collect Game Boy games anyway because there's like 30 carts I'm missing from the US. Once I've got those 30 carts, I will have every English language Game Boy game released.
Okay.
Which is
That's quite an achievement, I
I'll be pretty happy with it. But like, as I keep saying, like, video game collecting is at this stage, like, short of going out and finding stuff in the wild, it's spending money. And I'm kind of happy I had the determination and I was clever enough to not spend a fortune doing it. But at the same time, anyone with their mindset of, I'm going to buy all of these things, can buy all of these things.
Yeah. How many, you keep your Game Boy games in folders, yes, in little plastic walls. How many will you have when you've got your complete collection?
That's, I have all of them there. There is enough there. There's six the European ones fit into. There's nine wallets and there's like 10 of those in the thing. There's like 400.
So they don't take a lot of space.
They don't, like, it's very subtle, and that's why I kind of like Game Boy collecting. Yeah, I have a lot of box things in there, and if you look, there's a lot of box games that almost take up one shelf, and that's around 60 box games.
As I've found with when I moved recently.
Yeah, boxes take up a lot of space, and it was something I knew from the off I didn't want to do because of that. I'm actually collecting manuals now. Like, if I've seen games are the ones I'm missing with manuals, I've bought those, or I've bought the manuals.
Easy store as well.
Because they fit in a folder. Like, I can literally, the same size ring binder I figured out, I can probably fit, like, half of the manuals for the entire Game Boy library, at least in Europe, in them.
Once you've got the manuals, can you get all the boxes?
I have no interest in the boxes. No.
Like, as we said, they take up room.
The manuals are good for the fact that they tell you things about the game, they fill you in on backstory,
and they cover art,
and they have beautiful artwork in them. The Metroid manual for Return of Samus is awesome because it's got all of these amazing drawings of, like, Metroid characters I've never seen before in them.
It's a good idea, actually, because, as you say, boxes take up space. Why not just collect games and manuals?
Yeah, and I mean, the boxes are boxes, like, it's like, great. Like, I don't keep any of my carts in the boxes because I'm afraid of wrecking the boxes. Like, the box is where the value is in game collecting. But at the same time, I have no interest in the box.
No, because I know the same with N64 games, for instance. I don't keep them in the boxes. You know, the whole rigmarole of getting the box open, taking the little tray out, getting the little cartridge out of the plastic bag, putting it in the console. It's why bother, really.
Like, I understand if you have a CD-based game, a media that needs to be stored in something, having a case for that makes total sense.
Yeah.
But again, you can also put that in a CD wallet if you're really that bothered. We've stressed this time and time again. I like playing the games. I don't really give a shit about the condition of them. That being said, I am going to upgrade one or two of my cart labels because they're mashed.
Yeah, and also it depends what games you're most passionate about. For example, it's well documented, I collect Lemmings and Worms games.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to have all of them complete.
But you're collecting those for the boxes. You are collecting those because you like the artwork.
I do like the artwork
and
on the boxes.
There are several games like Kid Dracula. I fucking love the artwork of that. The artwork of Gargoyle's
it's
Quest.
Like a vinyl record, you know, you buy that for the whole package.
It is, yeah.
You have that lovely large piece of artwork that, you know, when you buy it on CD, it's tiny, really. Yeah. You know, you can't appreciate it in the same way.
If I had enough space, I would box frame some of those boxes because I really think the artwork on them is beautiful. I've been fortunate enough across my time collecting this, which has almost been 3 years at this point, going for this full set, that they look nice. Like, I've managed to find some really nice examples of boxes that look like they've not been used, especially, like, I got a copy of Kirby's Dream Land and Tetris. They're in immaculate condition. But yeah,
that's not your focus.
No, it isn't. What I did pick up this week, though, to go back to your original question before all this Game Boy malarkey came up, I picked up a game for the Game Boy Advance. The Game Boy Advance. Now that obviously the Game Boy collection is out of the way, I'm kind of going, okay. I'm not going to full set it. I thought about this for a long while. I was like, should I do Game Boy Color? I have around 150 Game Boy Color carts. There's like 200 more I need. And I thought, no, fuck it.
I think that's a sensible decision.
I don't care enough about the Game Boy Color. I'm sure there would be a point in time where I would come across games that people don't know about, as I have been with the Game Boy, and going like, wow, this is actually a really good game. Why does nobody talk about this? But I keep looking at Game Boy Color games. Like, I've seen a few flea markets I picked up recently, and I just play them. They're just so gash. Like, there's no thought. It's just shovelware. Like, they play, like, Elmo's ABCs and stuff, and I just want to turn the game off straight away.
They're from a different time to the other Game Boy games.
They are, and interestingly enough, I would imagine a lot more of the Japanese exclusives and maybe some of the American games would be better, because a lot of what we have in terms of the European Game Boy library, in terms of Game Boy Color games, is a lot of THQ, a lot of licensed games that generally are made by European or Western developers in a time where European and Western developers weren't really that great at making games, in my opinion. Like,
I do think you should pick up Little Nicky, though.
I might get Little
Nicky.
I'm
really curious that how you make a game out of an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, there's a few I want. But anyway, I picked up Kura Kura Kurin. Game Boy Advance, because it's a game that I've heard a lot about recently. Like, it's cropped up on loads of podcasts I listen to, like Giant Bomb.
Yeah.
And a few other sources of people going like, oh, have you played Kura Kura Kurin? And I'm like, no, I haven't, but I really want to. It's been a title. I hope, actually, someone has promised me I shall leave the source nameless because they asked to be. Thank you, you know who you are. Who's actually maybe sent me a box copy of Kura Kura Kurin. But this one was a whole pound, and I was like, I'm not going to turn down a copy of a game I've been after for a long while for a pound when it's selling roughly about 8-9 on eBay. And that was with postage for a quid. It's a really fun game. I'm really surprised by the brief little play I had through it. I can see a lot of potential in it. Do you want to describe it?
Well, funny enough, I have seen this game before and I thought I was interested in it. But seeing you play it earlier made me realise how similar it is to the PlayStation 4 game Roundabout. You have an object which is spinning constantly round and you have to guide it through a maze.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a Roundabout is. In that game, you are driving a limousine that's constantly revolving and you have to manoeuvre it around roads with obstacles in. And it's very similar. And I thought that was a unique concept, and I realise now you can trace it back to this game. I don't know if there's been anything similar beforehand, but...
Probably, I imagine. It seems like a pretty straightforward concept. I know Kura Kura is a Japanese series, so it may have predated even the Game Boy Advance. I'm not too sure. I think this is one of the only ones that ever came out to you, though.
Yeah, but it's... great concept, great gameplay.
Yeah, really fun. You're a rotating propeller blade in this game and you have to go around a maze without hitting the sides. It's really fun.
Yeah.
As you mentioned in Roundabout, you can run over people, which you can't do in Kura Kura, but it's because it's very cutesy.
Yeah, if you want a modern equivalent with some variety in as well. I mean, there are sections of Roundabout which have mini games like football and cutting down crops in the farm, and for instance, try Roundabout as well if you're a fan of
Kuru Kurin.
Indeed.
Yes. I'm trying to find out if this is how long running this series is. It's on the Wii U Virtual Console as well, for those of you who are interested in it. You can buy it there and play it on your gamepad.
Yeah, but I imagine
I know there's a Japanese sequel, but I thought there was more to this series. I'm sure there is. It's probably just not linked on this Wikipedia article.
But there's no original Game Boy Color version.
Not that I can see. There's a GameCube game of it, though, called Kuru.
Yeah, I knew there were others.
Kuruin Squash. It's not called Kuru Kuru in Japan. Kuruin Paradise as well is the Game Boy Advance only sequel, which is supposed to be very hard because most Japanese sequels tend to be harder iterations of their original game.
Like Super Mario Brothers.
Indeed. Yeah, you picked up anything else?
I have, Matthew, believe it or not. So we touched upon it earlier in the show. That although I've said that I'm refraining from eBay, I still occasionally go on there and maybe I pick something up. Well, you know, this week is no exception to that. And I have picked up a couple of things.
I'm very surprised to hear this.
Actually, neither of them were games in the last week.
Interesting.
Funnily enough, but they are game related. The Worms 2 soundtrack CD.
Right.
Which was £5.
What version of the soundtrack is this?
Worms 2. Yeah, 1997.
Does that mean PC?
Worms 2 is on
Worms
the PC.
Worms 2 is only on PC, yeah. Right, yeah.
But that's pretty cool, I thought, especially a nice price. And a Worms cuddly toy. Boggy Bee.
Boggy Bee.
The the main character, if you will, from Worms. And this is you have detachable parts. I think the eyebrows also detach and reattach with Velcro, and so do the grenade and Uzi. That's cool. About the eyes, but it looks really, really nice. It looks like a big thing as well. I got it, a big thing, a big worm.
They should do loads of like plushies of the gravestones from Worms.
Yeah. Hey, that'll be fun. But yeah, I got that for just it's over a tenner with postage. So the going rate on that was about 30 quid that I could see. So very happy. Now, I did talk about a few games that I'd picked up on eBay the other week. A couple of them. But just before I calmed down with my eBay, we missed a huge amount of things that I bought.
Lay them on us, Tom.
So I'm just going to quickly lay these on you from the point of a Super Nintendo official controller with all green buttons. Did I talk about this?
No. What?
So I asked the seller about this, but he didn't know. He just assumed it had been taken apart, you know, and had all the had three other green buttons from three other controllers transplanted in the place of its original buttons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got that really cheap, actually, because he realised there was some damage, I think, where the controller had been taken apart for the mod. So I got it for about £7 postage or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a nice looking thing and quite unique. I needed another controller for my Super Nintendo. So I was looking at American exclusive PlayStation fighting games, because for those not in know, I collect fighting games for the original PlayStation.
I don't buy fighting games anymore. I'm bored of fighting games.
The ones that are coming out, I have to justify it every podcast and explain.
I'm bored of Matthew 2D fighting games. I'm giving up eBay.
Inuyasha, a feudal fairy tale. Now, did I mention this? I remember saying Inuyasha again.
How many Inuyasha games have you bought?
Anyway, this is a PS1 fighting game based on the anime. Rise of the Robots 2. Did I mention that?
No,
PS1.
I vaguely remember you mentioning them to me, but I don't know if you.
I'm
mentioned
just going to quickly
podcast.
Go over these, yeah. And that's that was actually released in Europe. That's a European game.
Okay.
Another European game would be Dungeons and Dragons: Iron and Blood, Warriors of Ravenloft. What a mouthful.
Okay.
But that's another PS1 fighting game that I didn't know existed. Going away from fighting games, oh, but Virtua Striker 2. I've said this.
I'm pretty sure you
have.
Haven't
I? I've told you all these ones. There was Ninku for PlayStation, which is another fighting game. This is a Japanese one.
Okay.
Ninku is also on the Saturn. It's based on an anime, I think. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it, but it's got some cute characters. There's the cover. I'm just showing Matt the cover there.
Oh, there's a Game Boy game with Ninku.
Ninku, yeah. And I also picked up Destriga. That is a rather rare fighting game in Europe. It was released in Europe and the US. But because it demands a reasonably high price, I decided to pick up the Japanese copy for just £7. So.
Okay.
Why not? It's a fighting game. I don't need to be able to read all the in-game text. I have a box version of Lemmings 2 for Super Nintendo, which I probably mentioned.
Yes,
and
you have.
Lemmings for the Mac.
And yes.
But there you go. So just recently, I haven't been on eBay so much, and I'm really happy about that.
Okay.
I will go on daily and search for worms for the Super Nintendo and see if there's any cheap ones.
Yeah.
Which is the one I'm really after at the moment.
Fair enough.
But that's about it.
Okay.
Mm.
Other than that, I hope to have by the next podcast a Philips G7000.
What's the Philips G7000?
The Philips G7000, Thomas, is a console that was distributed by Philips in the UK and Europe, also known as a video pack, or to you Americans, a Magnavox Odyssey 2.
Really?
Yes. A colleague of ours reached out to me after I have an ad on our internal web that says, like, hey, I want to buy retro consoles. If you got retro consoles, let me know. This guy said, hey, I have a Sega and a G7000. Do you want them?
Very loose when anyone says Sega.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, great. Well, take a picture of it and I'll have a look. And so he took a picture of this G7000, complete in box. Looks like it's in very good condition. The controllers aren't rusted like they usually are.
Rusted? Why are they
Because they are metal. They have plastic coating, but where the joystick is, because it's a little knobby-looking thing, it's metal, and then they rust, and then you can't play it.
Oh, that's a pain.
It is a pain. However, it also has, looks like, about 6 completely boxed games, 300 krona. I'm not going to argue with that.
300 krona is about 30 British pounds.
30 British pounds. Roughly. So I'm all right with that. I haven't got it yet, so let's see what happens. And as to the Sega, he said, oh, the Sega's my wife. I should have asked her first. She doesn't want to sell it. I'm like, yeah.
Okay. I like the way he said it. The Sega's my wife. I'm married my to wife's Sega.
At the end.
I'm married to Sega. I cannot let her go. Yeah.
Wow, that was really awkward when death did you part, though, right? Sega.
Sega.
Your marriage to Sega.
Yeah.
And there's no more Sega consoles.
No, there's no more Sega consoles, yeah. Sega's more of a for everyone now.
Yes.
Kind of. I don't Sega's know where we're going with this.
Free,
this,
I don't know. Yeah.
Analogy.
Let's wrap it up. Okay.
I think that's better. Yeah.
Kill it dead. Right. I guess that brings us to the end of the podcast.
Does
then.
It? Really?
I think so.
Nothing more to say about video games.
Nothing
this week.
More to say about video games.
What about
this
games
week?
That are coming out? Is there anything you're excited about?
Have you looked them up?
No, I haven't, but there's got to be some things on the horizon. You know what I'm talking about. Star Wars Battlefront.
That's November, though, right?
Still.
There's a beta in October, though. Yeah. So I guess that kind of...
I think the other week I said, oh, yeah, and then Street Fighter's coming out. I looked on the PlayStation Store. It says December 2016.
Yeah, probably.
I was like, what?
There's a beta a bit currently, like, but it's every like now and again.
Over a year away, and there's a beta.
Yeah. Well, it's really more like a... It's because it's more than an alpha. Like, they know that...
an alpha.
Hey. It's because they know that their characters and stuff are how they want them. They just want to stress test their network and stuff, which, from what I understand, is going to be teaching them a few lessons because it's been going horribly. People have been trying to connect, and it's been really laggy.
I'm liking look at the new characters. I'm liking Ryu's beard.
Yeah.
That was a thing on the internet, apparently.
Yeah.
Sexy Ryu.
Sexy Ryu, yeah. I've seen that. I don't know, some of the characters they're bringing back, I'm like, why the fuck are you bringing back Karen? Like,
Karen.
She seems to be a bit of a fan favourite. People seem to be very happy she's back, but I'm like, really, all
it's
the characters in
Alpha,
you're bringing back
Alpha.
Karen and, like, fucking, what's her name? The wrestler woman.
Armika.
Yeah.
Oh, she's fun.
But I'm like... I mean, I play as grappling characters, and she's a fast grappler, but I'm like...
We'll see. I'm... Yeah, obviously I'll get it when it comes out. It made me start thinking about other fighting games for the that are forthcoming. And I thought about... I've found out there's a new King of Fighters coming out.
Really? Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Officially announced PS4. I think it's an exclusive.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's... I think it would be 14 by this time we're on.
Probably,
the last one
released sounds about
13.
Right.
And this one's going to be full 3D.
Okay.
It actually looks a lot like the Maximum Impact series.
Oh, I was going to say, does it look like Maximum Impact?
As opposed to something like Street Fighter or the latest Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how I feel because the trailer doesn't look fantastic. It kind of looks a bit like a budget game.
Mm.
It doesn't look next gen particularly.
Yeah.
PS3 quality.
Maybe it's early.
It's early. I know this. It is early. So we'll wait and see. When's Tekken out? Tekken... 7 are we on? I think.
Tekken, I don't know. I'm still waiting for Tekken Cross Street Fighter.
Well, yeah.
Street
what's
Fighter
going
cross
on?
Tekken?
With...
Which one came out?
It's Street Fighter
Cross Tekken cross came Tekken. Out. Tekken Cross Street Fighter didn't.
And it probably never will.
No,
now.
Probably not.
But then Devil Third did appear.
Yeah, eventually.
Another game I've got to get back on.
Yeah.
I also picked up, before we wind up, I just remembered I picked up Battlefield 4 for PS4.
You did. You're going to join us on Tuesdays.
I'm going to try and join you when I can. You know, in my current household, a lot of people play Destiny.
Yes.
A lot of, they're all on the Xbox One, so I have an Xbox One playing Destiny. I thought, oh, I need this kind of, you know, I need this kind of social thing going on here. Well, I do play Call of Duty Black Ops 2 online on the Wii U.
So now you're getting Battlefield as well.
And I've been enjoying that, so I thought, yeah, maybe I should just give Battlefield a chance. I've never really played it online.
Yeah.
It was quite cheap. I know yourself and our good friend Jakob also play it, so I'm going to give that a go. Maybe you can hear my thoughts on that next time.
It'll be interesting to see your thoughts now where the game is very fixed to where I've ranted and raved about it for weeks.
Yeah, but that's something to look forward to.
Yes. Okay. You can find us at the usual places, ladies and gentlemen, on Facebook at facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can look for us on Twitter at TMAcast. Find us on blastprocess.com as well as TomandMattAttack.com. But you can also listen to the podcast in a variety of things such as Stitcher, and you can also listen to us in iTunes. You should give us a cheeky rate and subscribe.
We've got 20 ratings and comments.
Really?
And I looked at them and thank you. You know,
wow, that's a lot. Really. Thanks, guys.
Comments, and we really appreciate them. Just to let you know that we do check the comments. You know, we ask every week, but
yeah. Thanks. I haven't checked in a while because I don't have an English iTunes account anymore. Oh. And unfortunately, I'm locked to the Danish store. And there's like one or two positive reviews from Danes, which is nice.
I think we've got a pretty 5-star review on there.
Mm, that's pretty good.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for your continued support of this podcast. It really does mean a lot. It's the reason we're still doing it, I guess. We like having a natter, but it's nice to know that people are listening. Okay. That's pretty much it. Oh, actually, I should apologize. Sorry if you downloaded last week's podcast on Monday. They changed how WordPress works, or at least how I've been uploading the podcast into WordPress, and it made number 106 publish itself again.
Yeah.
I have fixed that now, so if you're listening to this going like, oh, but there wasn't a podcast last week, you can go back and listen to it now.
The last time on our website, I couldn't get it to play.
Yeah, they've updated the player. Yeah. For some reason, and it's now running off of Flash as opposed to HTML as it was before. And
so
I'm
there's
like,
still an issue with that.
It should work now.
Okay.
I did fix it that Monday after we talked about it, but it was being a pain.
But if you do have problems listening to the website, there are several other avenues.
There are, and the download link should still work. I'm having to re-upload it in two places now to get the player to work. So if you do use that player, let me know in the comments. Otherwise, I might just remove the player, to be honest with you, or find another alternative, which is going to take a few weeks because it takes time to implement these things. So if you do use the player, I know this is very late in the podcast, let us know in the comments and I'll keep it there. If not, I'll remove it and try and figure out a new way to make it work.
I use it.
I know you do.
We're linking the thing to Blast Process.
Yeah.
But we'll find a way around that.
Yes.
Okay, after our elongated outro.
Yes. Game on.
That's it. That was too abrupt, wasn't it? You know, you can't be game on.
I took the legs out for you. I'm sorry. Carry on.
Game on.
Game on.